Well, good morning, church family. It is a beautiful day, isn't it? we are so blessed here in Point Loma to be in one of the nicer areas to live. And God truly has blessed us in many ways. And we share just a little bit of that in our community as we open the community, open up the property to anyone who would like to come and just share in the beauty of this place. And it's great. It's wonderful. I was here during the week and was just, I'm always excited when I hear the parrots when they come around in a big flock, you know, and I don't know, there's probably three or four different flocks that come through here. Just something about the sound of those parrots chattering to each other just takes my mind back to my childhood in the jungle. So I kind of feel like a jungle man here sometimes, but it's kind of nice to have that. You know, it's so wonderful to, and quite a few visitors too this morning, and we welcome you to Point Loma, and we're just excited that you could be part of our worship experience here. Thank you, worship team, too. Appreciate that. You know, sometimes it's easy to be caught up in all the various things that happen in society around us and the world around us, and it is a busy world, and it gets busier all the time because we're more and more connected, and little remote areas can become very important in the news, and we can chat with people anywhere on the face of this planet now, and that's just amazing. And it's so easy, like I said, to get caught up, and then we sometimes forget that God has accomplished such a wonderful, wonderful thing for us through His grace. And before I launch into the sermon, I sometimes need to be reminded on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but Romans chapter 3, verse 23, just to kind of underline something for us this morning regarding our salvation. I mentioned this a few months ago, and I'm going to come back to it just quickly right now for you, just to kind of give you a shot in the arm about, you know, your the hope that we have and the joy that we have in our salvation through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul here reminds us of our condition in verse 23. He says, "For we've all sinned, we've all fall short of the glory of God." Do you ever do that? Oh yeah. That's a slippery road, isn't it? Sometimes. And you catch yourself in the middle of the slide. You know, it's funny. I took my grandson last summer over to the park. And he loves to go to the park with me. And they, fortunately in Walla Walla, they've got a lot of really, really nice parks for kids to play in. And they have slides and all kinds of cool things to climb on. And this one slide is fairly long, and it's an older slide. It's not made out of plastic, or it's made out of stainless steel. And it has kind of a whoop-de-doo in the middle of it. And he was sliding down, and I'd already gone down. Yes, the old man gets up on the slide. And I was standing at the bottom waiting for him, and he came flying down the first half, and all of a sudden he just skidded to almost an instant stop, you know, and it was, he had his short pants on, and his skin just stuck, you know, and he comes to the stop, and he's kind of startled, like, what was that, you know, and so when he came down, I said, well, now you have to remember, next time you go down that slide, that you can get stuck halfway down. And you need to make sure that you put maybe a little bit of dust or something on your bare skin so you don't come to a skidding stop. You know, sometimes in our lives we get so preoccupied that we get caught in the middle of the slide. And we have to stop, and we have to really think about what our salvation really means to us. That God, what God accomplished on the cross. And so the Apostle Paul, he reminds us, he brings us to like a skidding stop, you know, and he says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Whether we intentionally do it or not, it's part of our nature. All right? But here's the "and," and I love this. And we are justified, we're forgiven, okay? We're justified freely. There's no price to pay. Okay, but we're justified freely by His grace. Now you say, well, okay, I've heard that text many, many times, but there's some beautiful nuances here. If you look at the Greek in the original language, the tenses are very important in Greek. If you really want to understand a passage of Scripture, you need to also understand the tenses that are involved, because it says a lot about what that passage is saying. And the tense for the sin, all have sinned, is past tense. Okay? It's past tense. And then it says, and we are justified, and we are justified. And the interesting part of the justified aspect of this passage of Scripture, that segment there, is that we are justified is in the present future, present ongoing, kind of like linear. It continues on and on and on. We're not justified bang and that's it. No, we're justified ongoing. And why? What would be the need for that? Well, let's go back. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we need that ongoing. We need the ongoing forgiveness that is freely given to us. That's part of God's grace. That's part of the beauty of the whole plan of salvation is not based on, you know, and we've all had these thoughts, you know, well, you know, I ask forgiveness and then I get out on the freeway and if I'm killed, then what happens if I didn't have a chance to say, God, please forgive me, you know, before I died? I thought that. I thought that many, many years as a kid. You know, I used to think that out logically, you know. And you've got to know that God's forgiveness is not, you know, it's an ongoing process. And we're in a forgiving relationship with God. That's what God's grace is all about. That's what His salvation is all about. Our sins, in God's mind, are considered in the past. But our forgiveness and our justification and our salvation is ongoing. It's present and future, okay? And so if it has to continue on, because we are in a fallen condition. We are fallen by nature, but we're saved by grace. You see that? We're fallen by nature, but we're saved by grace. Okay? And it's that by faith aspect. It's by faith. And it's by knowing that we're saved by God's grace and the faith that we have in God that is that ongoing, continuous relationship that we have. So that's just sort of the blood pressure check this morning for you, or the heartbeat check for you this morning. I don't know where you are in your relationship. I don't know what's going through your mind. I don't know what burdens you carried this week, what heartaches you've had, what pain you've suffered. But the bottom line is, the most important thing is that you're saved by God's grace. That covers everything and anything that's happened to you this week. Okay? There ain't nothing more important than accepting God's grace and living in His grace and His love and by faith following and walking with Him. Having said that, that sort of sets the groundwork, the foundation, if you please, for the passage of Scripture that I want to point to. It's an entire chapter in the book of Luke. The book of Luke records, of course, as accurately as possible, the words of Jesus. In fact, if you look in the book of Luke, you're going to find, at least in my Bible, that the vast majority of the book of Luke is red. Okay? And those of you, I don't know if your computers and your little phones have it in red or not, but the words of Jesus are in red. Okay? And so when you read the stories, the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, and you run into the red letters, not every Bible has that, but mine does, you are literally reading the words that Jesus spoke, or the sermon that He preached. And I really thank Luke for that. Because you know, Luke never knew Jesus. He was not one of Jesus' disciples. He was a young man that came along a little later in the Christian movement. And he was part Greek and part Jewish. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And so he spoke both languages. And he did an awful lot of research. an awful lot of research. He talked to the disciples. He talked to the people who followed Jesus day after day and heard the words of Jesus. And he took little notes. He wrote it down. And then he put all that together. He put it all together and he picked from the sources, whether it was disciples, whether it was, a Roman centurion that talked to Jesus. And he put that all together, and as best as he could, he did the very best he could, very detailed, he wrote down the life and the teachings of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? What would we do if we didn't have Luke? Well, we would have the words of the writings of the disciples, but the disciples didn't write very much, folks. Really. Matthew wrote. And, we have Mark, but Mark wasn't a disciple either. But Peter hardly said anything. Book of Peter, James, James said some wonderful things, but very little. But Luke really did a lot of beautiful research and wrote down the words of Jesus. So here we have, in chapter 15, Jesus is sharing some stories, some parables about being lost and being found. Now, I imagine that if we were to take a count here or have people raise their hands if they've ever felt lost before, I would imagine that there would be quite a few hands. Most people have been lost at least once in their life. And some of you may have been lost more than once. And when you get to my age, you get lost a lot. And I don't trust Siri yet. Last time I tried Siri, I let my wife deal with Siri if we're traveling. The last time we did that, Siri had us going in circles. Bing, 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 bing. We're going, what's going on? Why we keep going by this building? And my wife goes, how do you recognize that building? I said, because that's how I drive. I find a landmark and I go, okay, let's see. That street is about 2 blocks from that building. Kind of like my brother, he's that way too. And he goes, I go, Lloyd, I want to come up and visit you. This was years ago. This is like 30 years ago. And he goes, okay, well, here's how you get to my house. You come up Highway 80 out of Sacramento. And then you get to this sign and it's the first off ramp and you get off there and you go down about 5 or 6 miles and you go past a couple farms and you go on a little further and then you'll see a big dead tree out in the field and then on that dead tree there's a sign and you turn right at the end of the fence at the next, driveway. And it's a paved driveway and you go a little further and then it becomes dirt road and then you'll see another group of trees and you'll see a cow out there in the pasture. Well, maybe the cow wasn't there. Anyway, that's the way my brother gives directions. I love him. And unfortunately, I do the same. But anyway, but here we have Jesus giving some examples of how powerful the grip that God has on our lives. The grace that He extends to us. The love, the mercy, the passion. Everything is wrapped up. And it's beautiful because here we have 3 examples. Luke gives us 3. I'm sure Jesus preached many, many, many sermons. Many, many parables on how His Father in heaven and Him and the Holy Spirit loved humanity. But here are 3 interesting examples. Let's take a quick look because they're very short parables. And Pastor promised to keep his sermon short. So Jesus kept his sermon short. I'll keep mine short. Listen to this. Suppose, all right, chapter 15, one of you has 100 sheep. 100 sheep. You ever seen 100 sheep in one place? I see them every so often coming down here from up north, and they're all out there, and they tend to cluster together. they're a little bit paranoid, I think, about getting out on their own. But they cluster together, and here we have a shepherd, and he has 100 sheep, okay? And one of those little sheep gets lost. Maybe it wanders off, it's a little lamb, it doesn't understand that it's supposed to stay with the flock, and it wanders off, and it's lost. Now, what would you do? Ah, you know, one little lamb, you know, it's no big deal, you know, it's not going to hurt if I just lose one little lamb. No, the story tells us that the shepherd, the good shepherd, will put the sheep, the 99, in the fold, in the area where they fenced off, where they're safe, and he will go out and look for that one little lamb. That one stubborn, ornery, independent little lamb. Now, the lamb didn't ask to be saved. The lamb maybe wanted to go out and kick up his heels and do whatever he wanted to do. But that shepherd values the life of that one lamb as much as he values the entire herd. Maybe even more. Because he goes out and he looks for that one little, tiny, little lamb. I like, they're so cute. Aren't they little woolly things, you know? We have a dog at home that looks a lot like a lamb. He's such a cute little guy. They're so cute and so innocent and so they're harmless and they're helpless, really, when they're tiny. Even when they're bigger, they're kind of like dumb. You know, sheep are dumb. That's not, I've been around them, believe me. Anyway, so he finds that one little lamb and he brings that lamb back to the fold. And what does it say? I tell you, you know, let's back up to verse 5. And when he finds that lamb, he spanks it, he yells at it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He doesn't drag it along on a leash. He puts it on his shoulder. Because when the shepherd puts the lamb on his shoulders, it's an elevated sort of position. It's a special place to be. Okay? He's not drug along in the dust. He's not spanked or scolded. He's loved. And he's put on the shoulders. He gets a ride back. However many miles he wandered away, he gets a free ride. All right? Think of yourself as that little lamb. You were lost, but you're saved. And Jesus puts you on his shoulders and takes you home. It's a beautiful picture, don't you think, of God's love and his grace for humanity? And I tell you that the same, now listen to this, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One sinner, just one sinner. That's me. God saved me. I'm that one sinner. And there's rejoicing in heaven for just one. Think of yourself. It's just that one. Okay? That's beautiful. I get all kinds of visual in my head. I see things and I see this, you know, this little lamb. And he's out there. And they're so pitiful when they are lost or when they're by themselves. They just, bah, and their mouths are wide open. Bah, bah, and they run around crazy. They don't know any sense of direction. And here the shepherd sees him, picks him up, and carries him back. And the lamb is so happy. His little tail's wiggling. He's so happy. Okay? Beautiful story. The second one that we read already. Now, in this one, think just in your own mind. What is there something that you value? Think of something, you know? Something you maybe was handed down to you by your great-great-grandfather? Or a gift that was given to you by somebody that you love dearly. And in this story, we have this lady who loses her coin. Let's read it. I suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? You've probably done that before. Lost something. And you go looking for it. Under the couch, under the bed, top of the shelves, all the drawers. You just thoroughly search the house. She even sweeps the floor, hoping to find it. Check in the vacuum cleaner dust bin. I've done that before. My wife goes, I think I lost one of my earrings. And I go, I think I heard it going up and getting sucked up inside the vacuum cleaner when I was going under the couch the other day. Sure enough, there it is. But here she's looking. She's looking high and low, and she finds that coin, and what does she do? She rejoices. She praises, right? She's excited, huh? You ever lost one of your little Legos? Pieces of, you like Legos? I love Legos. My boys, even in college, when they came home, the first thing they went was to the cupboard, and they pulled out the Legos. They had a big Tupperware of Legos. Dump it out, and they'd build something. And now little Sean, my grandson has more Legos. He has all the ones that the boys had during the years growing up. Plus, Grandpa can't help himself. Every time he goes to visit Sean, or Christmas or birthday, he gets more Legos, right? Star Wars, I mean, all that stuff, all right? So Legos are a big thing, and Sean is really good at putting things together. And I remember one time he lost the Darth Vader, the little Darth Vader Lego, you know, with a helmet that, you know, you have that? I'll bet you do. And you, oh, see, there we go. That's exactly what happened. He lost not only the helmet, he lost the whole Darth Vader. Well, you can't have Star Wars without Darth Vader, can you? No. I mean, that's the big boy, you know? So we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked, and finally we found it. It was inside a box. I don't know how it got in this little tiny box under the bed. We looked everywhere. We found Darth Vader. Yeah, Darth Vader got lost. We found Darth Vader. And we rejoiced. You can't play Star Wars without Darth Vader, you know? You know, that whole thing. I mean, my grandson's got it down. But here we go. She found it. Aha. And it says she rejoiced. Not only did she do a little dance there in the middle of the floor after she found it, but she called all of her friends. Imagine that. All of her friends. And she rejoiced with them. She said, I have found what was lost. I lost my coin, and I have found it. Verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God, every one sinner who repents. Over every sinner who repents. Every sinner who repents. And even some who don't think they're sinners, they're still rejoicing. Okay? Because God loves you. And He will do anything. He will absolutely do anything to bring you home. He's offered you everything. He couldn't offer anything more than His own Son. That's the very best of heaven. Okay? But all you have to do is be willing to come home. Let Him put you on His shoulder. Okay? Let Him have a little party. You think heaven's going to be boring and drab? No. There's going to be parties in heaven. And you think Jesus never danced? Well, if he was a good little Jewish boy, he danced. And the dances they do now are the same ones they've been doing for thousands of years. Okay? Jesus celebrated life. He also celebrated the idea of one person that was lost being found. It reminds me of my little dog. I had when I was about 9 years old, my dogs, I can't tell you what happened to my dogs, but anyways, I wanted a dog really bad. I hadn't had one for probably 3 or 4 years, and so my mother, for Christmas, found a little dog in the village that had puppies, and she brought home one of these little puppies, little ball of fur. He was the cutest little guy. And if you know what Akitas are, Akita is a Japanese dog, that really furry. They look like a husky maybe, but their fur is thicker. But he was not an Akita. He was a cousin to the Akita. The Akita's from Japan. They call them Chindos. in Korea, and a Chindo is from an island, and they breed these dogs, and they look like an Inu and an Akita. They're smaller. The Inu's a little Japanese dog, but they're smaller than the Akita, but they have the same personality, same temperament. They pretty much only like one person, and everybody else is to be chased after and bit or whatever. And Licky, his name was Licky. Well, because obviously why his name was Licky. He would lick your face constantly. He was just a friendly little guy, as long as you were his owner. Well, one day Licky disappeared. And it was towards the evening. It was dark. And I was just devastated, weeping and crying. I was about probably eight or nine years old. Just, I loved Licky so much. He was such a cool dog for a little boy to have. And so I went looking for him. And, of course, my mom was going to let me go out into the village by myself at night. So she went along with me. And we looked and we looked. And every little bark we heard, every little whine we heard, we would go to that house and we would knock on the door and say, have you seen our dog? You know, no, no, that's our dog. And they would bring their dog out. No, it's not Licky. And we looked and we looked and we literally searched. I can't remember. It must have been early morning, maybe 3 o'clock. We finally exhausted, went home, and I fell asleep almost, you know, instantly. I was just wiped out, just tired. I had looked everywhere for miles around our compound, our little mission compound. No Licky. Called and called and called. No Licky. I finally woke up. My mom was shaking me. Get up, get up, get up. I think I know where Licky might be. And so on our compound, our mission compound, we had this big metal building about the size, about twice the size of this building. And in there we kept goods that were sent to us from America for people who needed food and clothing, kind of like the Salvation Army. And so she goes, you know, I've seen Licky go in there, and I'll bet you he got locked in. Sure enough, we went down there, knocked on the door. Man opened the door. He opened the big metal doors, and out ran Licky. Now, why would Licky go in there? Here's the secret. Because they would send huge 50-pound bags of milk powder, powdered milk. And Licky would go, and it would break open and fall out on the floor, and Licky would, he loved the taste of that powdered milk. Oh, I was so happy. I was so thrilled. It was like, you know, like he was being born all over again, you know, bringing that little puppy home. Now there was this big dog, and he licked my face, and I hugged him, and I just couldn't be separated for days. He was just, you know, so valuable to me, so important. Well, that's what God feels about us. And when we come home, maybe some of us have to come home every day. He celebrates that. It says even the angels rejoice in heaven. Okay? And not just your personal angel. The angels rejoice in heaven. And finally, the last parable. This is a longer one, but I'm going to keep it short because most of you have heard this parable. And this is the parable of the man who had two sons. And he had this farm. And this old papa had two sons. And one was very restless, very independent. And he got tired of working on the farm. He wanted to explore the world. He wanted to go out and taste all the goodness of the outside world. He was tired of staying there day after day, week after week, year after year, doing the same old thing over and over, plowing the fields, herding the cattle, blah, 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 blah. He was just tired of that. And so he said to the father, Dad, I know that when you pass away, every dad likes to hear this, I know that when you pass away, Dad, when you move on, I get an inheritance. Now, obviously, this dad had something to give, and he wanted to make sure that his sons were taken care of, and so he had made some kind of an inheritance. And this young boy, the younger son, said, can I have that ahead of time? Okay, so that I can go out and do my thing. I'm going to go find myself. I'm going to go out into the bad, big, bad world, and I'm going to find myself. I have a friend that used to do work on the streets in Hollywood, and that was his ministry, was helping children who had left their homes all over the United States to go to Hollywood and to find themselves. And there's a lot of them, a lot of them. I don't know what the statistics are, but I've heard that 1 in 1,000 possibly might make it in Hollywood or in the music business. I mean, there's just, the percentages are crazy. So the father said, okay, but I really don't want you to go. I wish you would stay, son. I love you, and you know, I really wish that you would stay on. But the son was bound and determined he was going to go out and find himself, and he was going to make a way in the world, and he was going to make a big splash, and he was going to be on the silver screen. He was going to be a rock star. And he left. His father gave him his inheritance, and he went. And of course, you know the story. Just like most of the kids in Hollywood or any other city, they got lost in the city, got lost in the life, the good life. Spent all of his inheritance, everything, zero. It got so bad that he had to actually go and feed pigs. You ever seen pigs? We have some pigs not too far from our house, but they're pretty clean pigs. And actually, they say pigs are actually quite clean, believe it or not. But we always use them as an example because they like to root and run around in mud, and they get all covered in mud, and we think, oh, they're dirty. But actually, I have friends in Oregon that actually owned a pig, and he lived in the house and with the dogs and the cats and little tiny pot belly, and he was a cute little guy. He would actually, she was a teacher, and would bring that pig to school for the kids to play with, a little tiny guy about this big. But the pigs that he had to feed were slopping around in the garbage and the yucky mud, and this poor guy's down there and he's trying to feed the pigs, and it gets so bad for him that he fights with the pigs for food. That's pretty sad, huh? How many of you would do that? Hopefully not. He's fighting the pigs for food. And suddenly he goes, you know what? Even my father's servants have it better than this. And he thinks, well, you know, I should at least go back and see if my father would accept me back as one of his servants. That would be better than the life I'm living here. And so the story goes, he made his way back to his father's home. I don't know how far it was. Maybe he walked for days, maybe weeks, who knows. But he went back. And as he was approaching his father's ranch, his father's home, off in the distance he saw this lonely figure standing there, and he realized that it was his father. And his father began to run towards him, and he began to run towards his father. And you can imagine the embrace that there must have been, a beautiful uniting again with his father. But then he, in the back of his mind, is thinking, yeah, but you know what? I really blew it, you know. I squandered the inheritance. And he said to his father, Father, you know, I don't deserve this. I deserve to be a servant. And what did the father say? No. You're my son. You were lost. You were lost, and now you've been found. Look at the scripture, Luke chapter 15. Let's take a look at the response. Take a look at chapter 15, verse 21. We'll start there. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he totally ignores the son. It's like, he's not even listening. He's so happy. He's so excited. And he yells at the servants. He said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's have a feast, and let's, what's the word there? Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Party. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him, what is going on? And the servant replied, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back and safe and sound. Wow, can you imagine? My younger brother's home. Let me go quick, run home and greet him and reunite with my younger brother. Is that what his response was? Wait a minute. This was the faithful son that stayed home. This was the son that took care of the father in his old age. This was the son that sacrificed a lot just to be home and to take care of his father. He had every right to be upset at his younger brother for the burden that he had to carry. And so, he was upset. In fact, it says the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out. There we go. There's the father again. There's that gracious, loving, full of passion, full of mercy, going out after the older son. It says he went out and pleaded with him. But he answered the father. He said, listen, Dad, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son, I love that, this son, he didn't even say my brother, he didn't even use the brother's name, this son of yours, well, wait a minute, we're all in the same blood, but anyways, this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Huh. That's a great Christian attitude, isn't it? Don't you love it? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Wow. That's a beautiful story. It shows the father loved both of them equally. And he wanted them to reconcile. He wanted them to find love in their hearts for each other. The same love that he had. You know, I've met Christians that sometimes have a hard time when people leave Christianity, go out and squander their relationship with Jesus, and then they come back and they want to just pick up where they left off, and they get a little upset. I've had people, you know, show a little bit of disrespect, let's say, for those who go and come back. Please, if you're one of those, understand this story. This is a story that we can relate to. When a lost soul comes home, comes back, it's time to celebrate. Our hearts should be full of mercy and passion and love for that one lost soul. The same love that God has for us, He has for everyone. Everybody. He loves them. And He wants to celebrate their coming home. So as we fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us not forget the love that the Father has for us, in that while we were yet sinning, He died for us. Just as this father here welcomed home the lost child, God is waiting and willing to extend His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. Every day if necessary. Every day. I thank Luke for recording these beautiful little sermonettes that Jesus gave, because it really does, I believe, reflect the heart, the very heart of God, and how He feels towards us. Whether we're in a relationship with God or not, God loves all of His children. And He's just inviting you to come home. Quit wandering around. Quit running. Quit making excuses. Just come home because he loves you.